I come in, I take out my pencil, my pad of paper. I go down my board. I look at every listing I have, and I write down, what do I need to do today to service this listing? I write that, and then I go down every open escrow I have, and I say, what do I need to do to service this open escrow today? And I write that down, and then I look at my potential client list, and I say, who do I need to talk to today? By the end of the first half hour, I have like 30 tasks to do on my list. And I don't go home until I do all 30 of those tasks.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Mark Dolan. I am your host for Time Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell, the podcast where we talk about success principles that are time tested and they're applied specifically to real estate people or people that are in business. Today, I have a wonderful guest to share with all of you. His name is Izzy Barden. He's part of the Izzy Barden Group, and I've known him for a lot of years. He's been an agent in the Big Bear market for quite a number of years and has achieved a great level of success. And so I'm looking forward to talking with you, Izzy, today and having you share some of your secrets and some of your insight with people that are doing exactly the same thing you're doing every day, trying to help people buy and sell real estate and make a living along the way. So welcome, Izzy.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. Great being here.
I am glad to have you here today. I mean, how many years have we known each other?
I got my license in 2001, so I'm guessing since then.
Yeah, well, so that would be 24, 25 years. Yeah,
that's all awesome. I know how to do.
That's all. So, you know, for those people that don't know you, Izzy is one of the most fun people to be around. I want you to go back before you got into real estate. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your background with an idea of how you found yourself getting into real estate 25 years ago.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about to when, you know, I grew up. You know, you're not that much older than me. So we went to, you know, the similar kind of schools. And I was thinking, we'd always have career day and they would have the kids bring their dads in, you know, and my dad was in construction, but it was always, you know, like a firefighter or a policeman. He worked at the bank or he worked at the store, or it was always somebody that worked for someone else. I could never recall them bringing someone in that was an entrepreneur, like they owned their own shop or they, you know, had a real estate business or anything like that. So I grew up, I always, in my mind, I was just like trained to work for other people. So I had like that hourly worker mentality. I thought my profession would be punching a time clock, you know, showing up on a job site or working in a restaurant, or, you know, I was just never shown, or, you know, going to college. I was never shown that like I could work for myself, be my own man, that kind of thing. So yeah, the beginning of my working life was doing construction, working at restaurants, you know, doing things like that. And then, you know, I actually eventually got into like the corporate kind of world. There's I was a lending consultant for a financial services company at one point. And I just never realized like I could do my own thing. You know, until I was 33 or 34, I always just worked for other people. I got into restaurant management at one point. I thought I wanted to own restaurants. Okay. And then after I actually did that for a few years, I'm like, this is terrible. I got to find something else to do.
So at one point you worked in construction. That's what your dad did. You were exposed to, you know, a lot of people that were employees basically, or worked for other people. You said you got into the corporate world. What was that again that you were in the corporate world?
I was a financial, it was like I taught credit unions how to lend money.
Okay.
And that was actually, you know, when I got my license in 2001, I did real estate for a few years. You probably heard this before, like I quit right before the boom. So I missed like 2003, 2004, and 2005, when it would have been great. And I did 4 years at the, you know, the credit union company. And I actually, you know, like I tell people this, like sometimes your darkest hour turns out to be your best hour. I was making $100,000 a year as a lending consultant, and I got fired from that job. A new CEO came on, a new president, and, you know, they wanted to shake things up, and I was the vice president of sales. And I ended up getting fired. So I had to go home to my wife and say, hey, I just got fired today from my $100,000 a year job. And my wife was like, oh, you know, and it was, I was terrified. I'm like, what, you know, especially, you know, in the mountains, where am I going to replace this income? And right. My wife was actually the assistant to Tyler Wood. She was Tyler's assistant.
Okay.
So she's like, well, you have your real estate license, you know, why don't you come talk to Tyler? So I came and I met with Tim and Tyler Wood and they hired me. And that's how I got full time into real estate. So this was like 2006, I want to say.
Okay.
Well, you know, and that's, you know, crumbled.
I was going to say, you know, your timing was pretty lousy because you were coming back in right before, you know, before the drop again in the real estate cycle.
So you didn't. Months.
I had four good months. Ouch. Oh man. Well, things have definitely changed for you. So you didn't grow up thinking, hey, I want to be a realtor. Most people don't want to be a realtor when they're a kid growing up. Fireman. I wanted to be a fireman when I was a kid for a while too. And so you got to real estate a little bit later than I did. I started when I was 21. So you had quite a bit of, you know, work experience behind you before you came into the business working for Tim and Tyler at Mountain Gallery at the time. Talk a little bit about what your thought process is when you started working with them.
You know, I talked about, I hated that corporate world, you know, like, oh, you're just, you know, we managed, we watched everything you did. And, you know, it was really constrictive and like gave me a lot of stress. When I started in real estate, you know, obviously I wasn't making much money. So I took a job all at, and you know, coming from the same place as I did, Tim Wood, you had to work 40 hours a week or you couldn't work for him. And that's a problem I see with a lot of agents. They think, oh, I could work, you know, 20 hours, 15 hours. Tim was like, no, you're here 5 8-hour days at minimum. And I wasn't selling a lot of property because I was so new. So I took a job as a waiter at a fine dining restaurant. So okay. I would do at least 40 hours with Tim and Tyler, and then I would do 30 hours a week at the restaurant. So I was doing 70-hour work weeks, 7 days a week, you know, and I did that for 2 years. And that's one of like the best memories of my life is the day that I could walk into that restaurant and give my 2-week notice. Hey, you know, I'm successful enough at real estate now to where I don't have to wait tables anymore. But that's why I never knock the hustle. When I meet, you know, I have people that are like I have a girl on my team right now that was embarrassed because she still had to wait tables.
Right.
And I was like, no, you know, that's not, we do what we have to do to get to where we have to be. And if you have to wait tables to pay your light bill until you're successful enough to, you know, quit that, I thought that's going to be the best day of your life when you quit that job. So let's get serious and get cracking, you know. But yeah, the day I quit, I went full time 2 years after. So I'm going to say 2008, dived into this full time. And this is all I've done since then.
Yeah, amazing. So you started when the market was going down and then you went full time when it was really down in 2008. But what I heard, you know, from Yizzy that is so, you know, it's important that people hear this because everybody I talk to that is a strong, productive real estate person or successful in anything is that there's a work ethic that is there. And so, you know, to say, hey, I worked 40 hours a week, you know, working for Tim and Tyler, you know, working on their team and their program. And then I went and worked 30 hours a week at a restaurant because I was taking care of my family. Anybody that is new and is starting out and has a family or has a need, has that drive to do it. I used to do weed abatement 2 days a week. You know, so I'd go out on Wednesdays and Thursdays and I would clean lots in Big Bear for $10 an hour, you know, back in the beginning. And you know, I was just starting because $200 a week helped pay the bills. And then I sold real estate the other days of the week. So I really relate to that and I respect it. And I think there's a lot of people that are in that same boat. And the people that are in the boat where they need to make more money that aren't willing to do the work, it takes a lot longer to be successful if you're not willing to do the work. So that's important for people.
It comes down to what you said too. You know, I mean, it's Tim taught me from day one, treat this like a 9-to-5 job. You don't treat this like most, like 90% of people I meet are like, oh, you know, I did this so I could have more free time. And you're like, no, if you're going to be successful at this, you're going to have less free time. You know, you need to treat this like a 9-to-5 job at least. I tell my team, if you're not in the office, what are you doing? You know, why, you know, my, the people, I give out leads on my team. I don't have a rotating schedule. I give them out according to who I see in the office. If I'm in the office and I'm the boss, if I'm outworking you, there's a problem. You know, right. Like I come in and if I see you and I get a great lead, you know, I get a sign call. Hey, we want to, you get it. I don't go like by seniority. Yeah. I don't go by, you know, like a round robin, a rotation. I go by who I see. And I have agents that listen to me. They come to the office. They develop good habits and they do the same thing every day. You know, when mm-hmm. I come in, I take out my pencil, my pad of paper. I go down my board. I look at every listing I have and I write down, what do I need to do today to service this listing? I write that. And then I go down every open escrow I have and I say, what do I need to do to service this open escrow today? And I write that down. And then I look at my potential client list and I say, who do I need to talk to today? And, you know, by the end of the first half hour, I have like 30 tasks to do on my list. And I right. don't go home until I do all 30 of those tasks. And that's something a lot of people don't get. They think they can just flitter back and forth and they're going to, you know, have what I have or be as successful as others, someone else, you know, is that is doing really well. And without those good habits and that work ethic, you're, you know, there's no shortcut. Everyone thinks, yeah. you know, with AI and like, there's going to be this miraculous shortcut, but it's the old fashioned things that were, you know, I love the name of your company, Time Tested Mastery, because the things that you do and the things that you promote are the things that make you successful, you know, like, yeah. answer your phone, answer your emails, you know, take time to talk to people, listen before you speak. You know, it is time-tested mastery. It's the things that have always worked and they always will work. Yeah. But sort of like that. I'm a Dale Carnegie graduate.
Okay.
And I encounter that almost every day, you know, things that I learned, you know, doing that. You know, and that's,
did you go through the Dale Carnegie Institute when you were working for the finance company? Is that where
yes,
it took
they paid
you
for
there?
Me to go there? And okay. so I went, you know, I don't, it was like a 16 week course. It was a major, you know, I had to drive to Ontario every week and yeah. go to these like 3 or 4 hour classes. And I had to give speeches and I had to write papers and I had to, you know, but at the yeah. end of it, I just wasn't afraid to talk to people, you know, like, I seldom get nervous anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's a really good thing. I mean, you know, it's fascinating, you know, when you say that, you know, work works and, you know, sort of being old school. Tim was old school. Well, Tim Wood was my mentor. And so a lot of the things that you learned working under Tim were things that I had learned when I was working alongside Tim, you know, as well. And Tim would always say, you know, people will copy everything I do except the hard work.
The hard work.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, they'll copy everything but the hard work, and you've certainly been able to do that. So, you know, I know how successful you are today, and I know sort of the operation that you've got, but I want to set that aside for a second. Even though I love what you just shared, you just shared a system that I've never heard anybody else ever talk about, which is when I come in at the beginning of the day, I make my to-do list. And you've got the three categories, you know, it's your listings, it's your open escrows and your current leads. And you sit there and go through all of them on a daily basis and do that. I've never heard anybody say that that was their system. You might be the only one that does it that way. Where did you learn that?
Oh, you know, actually part of it was from working at when I was the VP of sales for the credit union services company. You know, they taught me to have a hot list. So, you know, because I would make hundreds of calls. I had to generate new business for the company. So I would make a list and the people I talked to that were really receptive and seemed like they were going to buy our products would be, you know, at the top of the list. And I would go down and just go in order of from hot to cold. And then if you mm-hmm. got to the cold, I would kick you off the list because it was a waste of time. And the right. hot ones I would hammer. So I got used to doing a list every day. And I would okay. you know, constantly change the list, going up, you know, names would go up and down the list. And I had to make sure that I was on top of that. And that's how I would get new clients.
Yeah.
So when I got into real estate, I just kind of moved it over to that. And at first, yeah. you know, like everyone, when I started, I only had buyers.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of listings. So it was almost, you know, what, and I would go down by buyer and I would have next to their name what they were looking for. You know, 300 and under with the neighborhoods and how many bedrooms, bathrooms, lot size. And then every, you know, and you could always put people on the auto email. but I would do a personalized email too. So they'd get an auto email from me. And then I would go down the MLS and I would say, hey, I know you probably already got this, but in looking at the properties that just came out, this one I think suits you the best. And I would send them like only one or two. And so they were getting personalized touches from me as well. So they knew that I was like thinking about them and, you know, working for them.
Yeah.
And then it went, as I started getting more sellers, it was the same thing. Like, okay, you know, termites just getting done, home inspections getting done, you know, so I would have all my ducks in a row. And I still do that when I touch my past clients. Yeah. I write down the address of the house I sold them. I go through the MLS and I look at that house. And then in my mind, I come up with a value. You know, you bought it for $400, it's probably worth $520. And so I call them, hey, this is Izzy, just touching base with you. How are you doing? You know, I have notes on their kids' names, their dog's name, what they do, you know, things they like, who their favorite sports team is, you know, just so I could, I just want to remember. And I, you know, I call them, I'm more like a friend. Hey, it's your buddy, Izzy, Big Bear. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, I'm like, hey, no, we sold you. Are you curious about what it's worth? And they always say yes. I've never had anyone say no. And I say, right. Hey, you know, two sold on your street. You know, wow, good news, man. You're up 120 grand. Oh, really? And I just let them know. So when they go to sell, you know, they think about me and I already kind of gave them a value. And it's all on that list.
So, well, you know, clearly what I'm hearing, I mean, you have systems and you have routines that you're repeating over and over and over again. When you first started, you know, before you had all of the business that you're doing now, was there anything that was a surprise to you getting in the business? Because you started with really no clients, or you were just part of that team. What did you do in the very beginning when you first started?
So this is like another, you know, when I talk about hard work, I always like when I'm talking to my team, I, you know, because we live in Big Bear, right? So I correlate it to like our local history. I tell them, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Big Bear was the site of the first gold rush in California. Like people came here before they came to Sutter's Mill. So the thing with Big Bear, though, is to get gold here, it's like the hard way, right? They had to dine. That's like if you look at the mountainside, there's like big areas where it's gone, right? Because they were dynamiting the hillside. They were blowing up big quartz boulders. And then after you did that, you had to take the rocks and the ore and you had to process it, which is why we have Lucky Baldwin Mine. And so they crushed it. They treated it with chemicals. They washed it. And then at the end of this huge, long process, you had gold. And then Sutter's Mill came and they just had gold in the streams. You didn't have to crush the ore. You didn't have to crush the rocks. You just took your burrow. You went out there with your pan and you got in the water. And at the end of the day, you had gold, right? So when you first start your real estate career, it's like you're in Big Bear. You got to dynamite the rocks. You got to crush the rocks. You got to chemically treat them. You got to wash them. You get gold. It's the same process, but it's a lot harder. And as your career goes on, you kind of get to go to Sutter's Mill, right? So like now in the beginning, I had to, you know, we didn't have stuff like we have now. I had to actually buy websites. I had to do blogs. I had to do YouTube channels. I had to make my own videos. I didn't have Instagram to help me. I couldn't just post on Facebook. I couldn't. And with Google back then, they wanted live content. Like, remember, Bob Angelella had a lot of dough. So he had that website and he would do pay-per-clicks. I didn't have any money for pay-per-clicks. So when I first came on, I had to grind the boulders. So what I did was I started a website called BigBearREO.com because REOs were the big thing then. Everyone wanted a bank-owned listing. And that's the only buyers were buying bank-owns, right? They weren't buying. Right. So I said, and then I remember Tyler had this big like REO account, right, with Fannie Mae and like all these other old school realtors that had been doing it for years. They got all the listings. And I was like, I'm not going to get any of these listings. So I have to go for buyers. So Joe Pecoraro and I started a website, BigBearREO.com. I bought a blog site on WordPress. I bought a video camera. And every 3 days, we would preview properties. We'd see everything that came out on the market. Because that was really my only leg up on the other people was I would know the inventory better. So I would go and I would make videos and I would do the REO houses of the week and I'd put them on YouTube and then I'd go to my website and I'd put, you know, this is our three best REO houses of the week. So I'd do three, you know, because Google wanted original content. So I would do three videos every week of the REOs. And then in between, I would write blog posts. I'd write like the history of fawn skin. I'd write Sugarloaf, you know, what to expect. Irwin Lake, Big Bear Lake. I'd write about Old Miner's Day. I'd do Big Bear history. I do, you know, snowstorms. I do. So eventually, like at the end of a year, I had done like 1,000 blog posts on this thing. So Google loved my website. So I was getting thousands of views on it. I was getting more views than the people that were doing pay-per-clicks. And it translated to like lots of REO buyers. I started selling lots and lots of REOs. And I actually have got some clients from that that I still have from this day. Yeah. But I mean, if you think about it, I mean, that was thousands of hours of my life, like going out and seeing every new property. And it wasn't like making videos now on your iPhone. Like I had to upload them onto the computer. I had to splice them together. You know, I had to do narration. I had to figure out how to be a computer guy, you know, put the graphics on it, put it on YouTube, put it on my channel, you know, and everybody else was like, wow, you know, like you're getting all this business. And I'm like, yeah, well, I worked 100 hours this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's how I actually really got started, like where I started to see some success.
Very good. Very good. So, you know, I know from the history, everybody that starts real estate in Big Bear starts working with buyers. I started working with buyers. I know you started working with buyers, and then you found a niche with the REOs. What changed in your business that started working more with sellers? Because everybody that's ever been involved with real estate knows that, you know, listers last and whoever controls the inventory controls the market. So when did you make that transition?
My process was in Big Bear, we're lucky because the average, like, person keeps a house like 4 years, right? Like when you have a buyer, it's like 4 or 5 years. Whereas if you're in other markets where it's primarily first homes, they might keep it for 20 years. In Big Bear, they keep it, they use it for 4 or 5 years, and then they decide they want a condo in Hawaii or something. So we average like a turnover every 5 years. So I figured out if I did a really good job with all my buyers and kept in touch with them, you know, called them like a couple times a year at least, when it came time to list, they would use me. So after working with buyer, I worked for the Wood Group for 4 years and then went out on my own. And that was just when all the buyers from year one started turning into sellers. But, you know, keep in mind, I only had like 4 or 5 buyers in year one. So in year five, you know, I got like 3 listings out of that. But my name was getting more well known and I had had time to touch my sphere of influence. And I really figured like, if I'm going to become a listing agent, I need to get a lot of buyers. So that's when I started paying. Now, I have another interesting story real quick. So I had a friend named Andrew Jessen, who was a good buddy of mine. And it was like when I was 4 years in, and he took out a business loan of $30,000 to kickstart his business, which was like, he made websites. Like he one time had the contract for Monster Energy Drinks, was like his biggest one. And we were driving. I went to LA with him just to have fun as friends. And we were driving back and he knew I had just gone out on my own and I was struggling. And he said, Izzy, if you got $1,000 today, if it just came into your lap, what would you do to grow your business? And I said, oh man, you know, I'd probably buy $1,000 worth of Zillow leads. Just, you know, hopefully if I got one, you know, it helped me and blah, blah, blah. And the next day he showed up at my house and he had an envelope with $1,000 in it. And he's all, Izzy, he gave it to me. He's all, this is a 1 year loan. Pay it back, no interest. But do what you say you told, do what you told me you were going to do. And I said, okay. So I called Zillow. I put it on my credit card, bought $1,000 worth of Zillow leads. My first lead I got was a $480,000 sale. So I made $12,000 on my first lead that I got. Took that $12,000. I gave Andrew back his $1,000. Like it was only a month later. I'm like, here you go, man. I love you. And then I took the remaining $11,000 and I put that into online leads. And they were different back then than they are now. Like I think they're terrible now. But back then, I bought $12,000 worth of leads. And my business went from $4 million in sales to $8 million in sales. And then I just started reinvesting all that money back into my business. You know, I told my wife, hey, I'm sorry, but all the extra money we have, I'm putting it back in the business because this has to work. I have no plan B. I don't know how to do anything else. I don't want to be a house painter. So all the money I made off the Zillow leads, I've recycled back into the business. I bought more and more leads, more and more leads. And then at some point it just sucked. Like, I couldn't tell you exactly when, but at some point I was paying Zillow like $35,000 a year and the return was not there. When I first started, it was good, but now it's terrible now. You know, I mean, I would never go that route now. But back then when I had nothing else, it saved me.
Let me ask you some questions because as you're going through, I mean, it's real clear in the conversation that we're having that you were always working and you were always working hard. I mean, that's one thing I'm getting out of it. Mm-hmm. The second part I'm getting is that you were always doing things on purpose. You were thinking through what you were seeing. I mean, you made your decision to work on the REO market based on what you were seeing happen in the market. You made your, you know, change to start marketing for buyers online as a result of, you know, now you were taking listings and you needed to have buyers for them. So you were focusing your work ethic on the sellers, but you needed buyers to match them with. So you started doing the advertising there. So it sounds like all the way along, you've been thinking through what you were seeing and trying to create new ways to make money going forward. Does that sound like a good explanation of what you're doing?
Yeah, I was never afraid to, you know, get same mentor, Tim Wood taught me, if you're going to do something, you have to give it 2 years before you call it a failure. So don't do it if you're not willing to do it for 2 years. So everything right. I did, I kept that in mind, like, all right, 2 year plan. And I didn't do anything unless I thought it had a good chance of working. You know, and I did do things that failed. I mean, believe me, I had things I did that did not work.
Me too.
Yeah. So, but, awesome. And then at 2 years, I would cut it loose, you know, and I'd be like, oh, I'm stupid. But at least I tried, you know. So it was kind of like fumbling in the dark, you know, like, but the things that worked, they worked.
What's great about this business, and I love this about time-tested mastery, is that, you know, everything that I teach and everything I talk about, I mean, I didn't come out of the womb, you know, with this information. I learned it from someone else. And Tim was a great mentor. You know, one of the things, in addition to that, everything you do is going to take 2 years to work. The other thing is said, Mark, you know, we're going to try stuff. You know, not all of it's going to work, but we're going to keep trying stuff. And you know, certainly have embodied that. And I have certainly embodied that as well. So I think that's fascinating, which leads me to, you know, now you're running a team, you know, which is an evolution. You've been doing it for a while now. Can you talk about the process of how you decided to develop your team and, you know, what you've learned from it and what that journey's been like?
Well, you know, like the team is kind of like, it was an organic thing. You know, I didn't all of a sudden decided I wanted a team. I just got so busy after, you know, gosh, I'm going to say like 7 years, like around 2012. I was, you know, so that was about six solid years of working really hard just with myself. I was having no time for my family. I was working every Saturday and Sunday. I would work 62 days in a row without a day off. It wasn't uncommon. And I had a good old buddy, old Ed Krause, who really loved working with buyers. And he was kind of, you know, like he was looking to get busier, you know, and I was looking to get less busy. So I talked with Ed and I'm like, well, what if I gave you buyers? You know, will you agree to split 50-50 with me? And I'll give you these buyers. I could have taken them and gotten 100, but I wanted to see my kids. Right. I wanted to be with my wife, you know? So, okay. So Ed became my first buyer's agent and we worked together for years, just Ed and I. And then at some point, it got too much for Ed. I had too many buyers for Ed. And so then I brought in another one. And then after a while, I started having a lot of listings. Like, you know, if you have like 27, 28 listings, you're going to get a lot of buyer leads. And it was just kind of organic, you know? And now I think I have seven agents right now, but two of them don't do a lot. They're like more part-time. But I have five that like hit it pretty hard. Right. And I really do it, you know, nowadays, I could just have one or two agents and I would make the same amount of money. But I don't know, are we allowed to talk about our faith here? My pastor told me like different people are going to have different callings, right? Some people are called to ministry, some people are called to, and I felt like I was called to help people in whatever way I can. And I feel like having this team is a way for me to give back. Yep. I can provide a living for 7 families. They can have a roof over their heads. They could have food over their table, you know, food on their tables. And I just feel like it's my way of helping. Like I'm not some kind of big, I'm not a great person. I'm an average person and I do what I can. I'm not, you know, so wealthy I could just pay for everything, but I can provide 7 people the opportunity to take care of their family. And that's the main reason why I do this.
And that's a good thing. I mean, you know, and I didn't know necessarily how deep your faith was. I don't think we've ever had a deep conversation about our faith. A few weeks ago, Christine Lee was on the podcast and talked about God and business. I mean, her business is her ministry. So now I'm a faithful person as well. But for me, time-tested mastery is about giving back the things that were given to me by, you know, the mentors and the coaches and the trainers that I've worked with over the last 40 years. So there is a point in our careers where we've worked to achieve a certain level of success. And for a lot of people like yourself, you know, you find a way to pay that forward and give that to other people. And, you know, I want to commend you for that. I know that running a team is a completely different skill set than it is, you know, just buying and, you know, working with buyers and sellers yourself. I mean, there's a lot of more work that's involved with it. There's a lot more responsibility and there is a lot more stress because even though you're not working with the buyers and the sellers that your team is working with, you're still ultimately, you know, the last person in the room, so to speak, when there's an issue that needs to be dealt with. So, you know, that's a lot of responsibility. How do you handle that?
You know, 7 personalities to juggle and, you know, we might have 20 escrows going at a time and I'm coaching everyone on how to get them to the finish line. But it's pretty satisfying just being a help to people and, you know, doing something beyond yourself. And everyone on my team is someone that is close to me. I don't hire people based on how much money I think they can make for me. You know, I hire people based on how they make me feel, you know, like they make me feel good, then, you know, yeah, you can work with me.
So you're using your intuition on that. You know, there's 2 things I want to finish up with. One is, you know, you've expanded your market, I think, outside of the Big Bear Valley. I mean, you're working down in the desert as well. You know, talk a little bit about how your team has expanded geographically into wider markets.
Well, you know, like one thing that always bothered me in our market in Big Bear, and you know this as good as anybody, is there's all kinds of people like agents that come up here that shouldn't be here. You know, like they have no idea. I have a saying, like every terrible listing that I've had that has ever sold has been from an agent from Los Angeles. You know, it's like no one from Big Bear is going to sell it. Like if I have an overpriced listing, right, or it's in a terrible location, you know, it's on the runway at the airport, say, or, you know, it's somewhere where it's just not good. You know, nobody would counsel their buyers to buy there. And when I sell it, it's always like somebody from like Rancho Cucamonga or something, and they'll sell their client this terrible house. And it's not up to me to tell them not to do it. Their buyer hired them. But so when I knew I wanted to go down into the Coachella Valley, you know, and these agents are never a part of our MLS, right? So they don't even know all the properties that are available, and they can't get into the houses half the time. And you know, half the time they're calling me, hey, can you show my agent this house? And I say, no, I'm busy. Like, I'm doing something, man. You know, they're going to make like $15,000 and they're too lazy to drive up here to show a house. So you want $15,000 for nothing, you know? So when it came time for me, I owned a house down in La Quinta, and Remax Big Bear had an office in Palm Springs. It was just natural. But yeah, I made sure that I joined the California Desert Association of Realtors. I made sure I had an office there. I made sure that I understood the market. You know, I track that market just like I track the Big Bear market. Every morning I get an email of all the new listings and I go through But down there, I'm more of a CEO. I don't really practice real estate there so much.
Okay.
So like when I get listings, I let my team take it. When I get buyers, I let my team take it. I'm more of, you know, I'm the rainmaker. Like I have the accounts that generate the leads, but I pay for the, you know, I pay for the office rent. I pay for all the lead generation. I pay for the signs and the lock boxes and the keys and the, you know, and pretty much all the leads come from me. but they get to handle, where in Big Bear, I still practice real estate. Yeah. You know, like if I look right, I think I have 37 listings right now, and 30 of those are mine. The other seven are on the team, but I still am very active as far as I handle all the lists. I do almost no buyers. I do like one or two buyers a year.
Yeah.
Because I made them a promise when they came onto the team that, you know, I will give you the buyers. So the only, like the last buyer I took was my friend from childhood. We used to ride our BMX bikes through the woods together. And he's like, Izzy, I want, you know, so I couldn't hand him off. But I'll probably do one, maybe two buyers this year. And it'll be like my best friend and my cousin or something. The rest I hand out. So yeah, the desert, I just make sure I do more micromanaging there because it's my reputation. So I keep a closer track of what's going on. Where in Big Bear, you know, I'm already taking care of half of it. And my agents have been with me for a long time. We're in the office. I hear all the conversations. I get together with my TC every morning. We have a conversation. He tells me what's going on with every single deal. We have a sales meeting every Monday and we talk about everything that's going on. So I have a pretty good grasp of what's going on, but I'm not a terrible micromanager. You know, I know if they don't get paid, I don't get paid, but they really want to get paid.
Well, and it, you know, again, you know, running a team is a different skill set than, you know, listing and selling property for yourself. I mean, that's why a lot of people start teams or have teams that don't, that struggle, because there's more responsibilities and different skills. And so obviously you have been able to do that. So, you know, I think I would like to wrap up with a question. You know, if you were talking with somebody that is about ready to join the business, or if you were wanting to talk with somebody that's been in the business for a little bit, is struggling, hasn't found their niche or found traction in the business, what would you say is the one or two things that they could do that would help impact them enough to get their business moving in the right direction?
Join a team with an active leader who will mentor you.
Okay. It's,
you know, like a lot of people don't realize this, right? Like they think, my mindset on the real estate business is I want to be looked at like people look at their stockbroker, right? Or their financial advisor. Or because if you think about what you and I do, real estate is the best path for the average person to generate wealth. There's no better way. Like if you have $1 million, yes, you can go buy $1 million worth of stocks and they go up. So you get a million nickels and that's pretty cool. But for an average person, right? Like my house I'm in right now, I bought for $400,000. I got an FHA loan on it. I had the seller pay the closing costs and it was my listing. So I double ended it. So I got a $20,000 commission when I closed it. The FHA loan, I only put down $14,000 when I bought it. My house is worth $1 million now. I owe very little money on it, right? So where else in the world could I have taken $14,000 and made $1 million? Nowhere. Anybody can do it. You know, like you see a, you know, a guy who's struggling and he doesn't make a lot of money, but maybe he could get a Cal half a loan. Maybe he could get a USADA loan. Maybe he could, you know, now instead of paying rent, he's paying his own mortgage. You're going to pay. You're going to pay rent or you're going to pay a mortgage. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
Real estate is for, you know, in a lot of cases, this is your generational wealth, right? Like parents pass away and the kids get all the money from the house and say they bought a couple houses and they have a few million dollars in real estate. And now all the kids get $500,000 each. Without real estate, that wouldn't have happened, you know? So you have to look at it from the mindset of like, I'm helping this family create generational wealth. I'm helping them get to a place they couldn't get. Like you have to take it deadly seriously. And people come into this business with the mind, like they say, oh, I'm a salesman. You're not a salesman. You're a consultant. You're a trusted partner. In a lot of cases, you become part of this. I have people that it's in their will that I sell the house when they pass away, because they trust me with their families. I have a guy right now who just came down with stage 4 cancer. And he sent me, you know, an email detailing step by step what he wants me to do when he passes away, if the property isn't sold. And he's trusting me. He sent it to his wife and to me. Right. Like, Izzy's going to handle this. And this is how he's going to do it. And you don't do that to a salesman that sells you a car, you know, or sells you a handbag at the Cabazon. You know, it's like, if you do this right, you're a trusted friend, you're a confidant, you're a consultant, you're a strategist. And I tell people that are new, change your mind. Never call yourself a salesman. And it's going to be difficult because this is some people's life savings. And they figure out that you've only been doing this for a year. Would you give your life savings to someone that's been doing something for a year? You know, probably not.
Right.
You know, and that's why the people like you and I that have been doing this for over 20 years, it's easier for us. And we have, you know, and I respect you so much for what you said about why you do this to give back to people, because you're not just helping the real estate salesman, you're helping the families that they're helping. You know, the right. wisdom that you're passing on to us, to the new agents, you know, you're going to help a family somewhere. There's going to be like a new agent that it never occurred to them, and you're going to change their mindset, and they're going to help a family, and this family is going to buy a house, and maybe they have it for 20 years and it gets $1 million in equity, you know, and maybe they flip it 3 or 4 times and now they have a house they don't have a mortgage on, and you've just created something for a whole generation. You know, it's bigger than us. You know, like when I talked about when I help my team, like I see all my clients like that. They're like, they're depending on me to do something for their family, not just them, you know, for everyone. And it's important and it should mean something.
Yeah. Well, you've touched on something that is, you know, I'm really proud of being a real estate salesperson or a consultant. You know, one of the talks that I'm doing is, you know, I have become the trusted advisor for so many people. Because I wasn't just a salesman looking for a sale. I was looking for a relationship. I was looking to make a difference. You and I both know that generational wealth comes from real estate. You know, the average person that owns real estate, their net worth is 45 times higher than the people that don't own real estate. And the people that are successful in this business are able to take care of their family. So there's something very, I would say, very worthy. You know, it's worthy to be successful in this business and move forward. So I want to thank you today for joining me. You are a perfect example of a career real estate agent, real estate team leader that is providing value to both salespeople and to their clients. So for those people out there that want to reach out to you, either to send referrals to you and your team or to reach out and do business with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Just put my name in the Google. I'll show up on like the first 10 pages. But yeah. I have Instagram. I have Facebook. I have TikTok. I'm not very good at the TikTok. You know, like that. But I post heavily on social media. So just search, you know, the Barden Group and you'll find me immediately.
Sounds good. Well, Izzy, I'm so grateful that you agreed to join me today and share your experience and your wisdom, you know, and your work ethic and your heart, you know, with everyone. So, you know, again, I want to thank you for agreeing to do that.
Thanks, Mark. It's great working with you. You're a fantastic broker and you're a wonderful human being. Thank you.
So for everyone that was here today, my name is Mark Dolan. I'm your host for Time Tested Mastery, Life Lessons Sell, where we talk about the principles of success that are time tested, that work over long periods of time and across all kinds of industries. One of the things that I like to share is that by applying these principles to your life, seemingly ordinary people, and as he said, he was somewhat ordinary, and I feel like I'm somewhat ordinary, but by doing the right principles, you can achieve extraordinary results. So I urge you to check back in with our podcast every week, learn more time-tested principles. I look forward to seeing you.